Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I've got you a name, Cody.
Okay.
The hyphenated name theory for the Chiefs in the draft and free agency.
We thought
agency.
Of MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Amir Smith-Marset was on this team. They like a person with a hyphenated name.
Felix Anduike Uzomah. So who? Give us one or two hyphenated names to watch for the Chiefs to draft.
Well, I don't think they're going to draft a center, but a cool name is Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon.
That's a great hyphenated name.
There's a corner, though, right?
There is a corner who actually my wife happens to be partially related to.
What? Okay.
Huh. Is Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Cool.
Oh, that's a first name hyphen.
Yeah, normally it's the last name. Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
I will say this. If Kool-Aid is available.
That's a great pick at 32.
If he's available at 32 and all the offensive linemen have gone. I wonder if that actually could be a selection.
When is he actually? Well,
can your wife get him on the show if the Chiefs draft him? You know,
I don't think so because they're very
not that related.
They're not that related. They're very it's like third cousin sort of related.
What is this, like an Ancestry.com find or what?
No. So we were watching for whatever reason, and this came out of nowhere too, mind you. We're watching an Alabama game. This is like a year or two ago, and out of nowhere, Bree goes, "Oh yeah, Kool-Aid. I'm apparently related to him." I was like, "What?"
How?
So weird.
Her dad's name is McKinstry. Oh. That lineage reaches to Kool-Aid.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So
who
knew? She's distant cousins with Kool-Aid.
My new mock draft has the Chiefs taking it, number 32, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
There you go.
That's my current text line. That's Cody Tapp mock.
You can do a lot with Kool-Aid as a name. There's so much.
I mean,
we all seen GIF on social media of Andy Reid, someone breaking through a wall, and they have Andy Reid doing it. Imagine if we actually had Kool-Aid on the team.
Yeah.
That's the exception. The one corner, I'm okay if they draft in the first round because I don't want them to draft in the corner in the first round. That's the one exception. Otherwise, I really don't want a corner in the first round. We'll talk more draft throughout the show. We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic joining us in studio coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today. So looking forward to getting Nate's perspective. What is he hearing from inside the Chiefs organization on the potential direction they will head Thursday night in round one and beyond? But let's talk some Royals baseball. We did have JJ Piccolo join us about a half hour ago, and we were talking about the offense. He disagreed with you a little bit on how consistent or inconsistent maybe the offense has been. You take a look at the offensive numbers, and this was before they lost last night. Okay, so keep that in mind. These are rankings of the offense going into last night's game. We know the Royals have lost three in a row.
Takes a second for them to update. Sorry.
And so, look, these numbers got worse after last night in at least one of the categories. Now, home runs might have actually gotten better because Mikel did hit a home run. But the Royals were entering last night 11th in runs per game, 5th in home runs, 19th in batting average, 20th in on-base percentage, 12th in OPS. That was heading into last night, as you said. I don't know if we have the updated numbers, but that we were already planning on talking about this before last night. And the offense, inconsistency may be the wrong word as a team, but I do think, you know, throughout a baseball season, during your losing streaks as well, one through five, you're probably not going to have everybody on board at the same time. And the question is, though, when two or three of those guys are not hitting, in the winning streak, they had great starting pitching. Well, you started to get a little more what I would call kind of average starting pitching.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it bad.
No,
just
no.
Average.
Yeah, average starting pitching, which is going to happen. And then the offense struggled specifically. Sunday's the one game where they just didn't score. And that's going to happen throughout a baseball season. For me, this whole thing is just, can you get enough to where you don't allow this three-game losing streak to become a 5 or 6? You can handle a three-game losing streak. It will not be the last time they lose three games in a row. But can you make sure it doesn't delve into a 6-game losing streak heading into a road trip against the Tigers?
I'll be honest. I think their offensive woes, and I asked JJ this for a reason, I think their offensive woes have been largely overblown. Not because of what JJ just said. That was the whole point of having the conversation with JJ so that we could get another side of it. And when he says, I don't think that they're all that inconsistent. Because you see these big, like, we're scoring 10, we're scoring 2. We're scoring 13, we're scoring 3. That's pretty common in baseball. You're not going to score 7 runs a game every night with no ups or downs on the other side of this. And for them to get as many games into the season as they got at 13-9 before getting shut out actually speaks a little bit to their consistency. Their problem is what we probably knew going into the year. They're not going to be a good hitting team 6-9. It's going to be a problem. But 1-5, they have a chance to be one of the top 5 lineups, 1-5 in the American League, if Mikel Garcia can be consistent. That's their biggest question. Because Salvador Perez is raking. Vinny Pasquantino is one of the most consistent hitters I've ever watched. Do you realize that he's only swung and missed at like 11 pitches this year? In this many games, he's only swung at a ball and just did not even make contact with it less than a dozen times in the entire year. Okay, so you're good with Salvi, you're good with Vinny, you're good with Bobby, and then you start getting into the, like, what's the consistency level of MJ? What's the consistency level of Mikel? And I think that there's a good argument for both of those guys will sort out the level where they're not this bad, like average on base and all those things. And they'll just be kind of like, they'll be good major league hitters.
I just view this as just like the normal thought of how the season is going to go. I mean, you and I have talked about, hey, is there in April, can you change your season expectations? And you asked me the question a week ago when they are at that point, I think 5 or 6 games above 500. And you're like, hey, are you willing to change, you know, your big picture view of the season? I said, there's nothing that can happen in April that is going to make me shift, you know, and adding 5 more wins or something like that, because it's April. And you asked me the question, would they be ever below 500? And I said, the safe bet is to say yes, just because that's the reality of baseball. And if you thought the Royals are an 80 win team or a little above 80, there's a good chance. I mean, it makes sense why, I guess what I'm saying, this is no, I don't think anybody should be overreacting to losing 3 in a row, because unless you all of a sudden bought into the 95 win pace,
which they're still on, probably
something like that, then they were going to have a losing streak. They're going to balance back out. Like, I had them preseason 78 wins. If I suddenly think they're an 81 win team, well, if you think they're just going to be barely above 500, they're obviously not going to consistently be 5 games above 500.
No.
So this is all just kind of the normal flow of the season. What has to happen and differ from prior years is, and I think they have the starting pitching to do it, you can't allow the 3 to become a 5, 6, 7 game losing streak. And they are still 3rd in baseball and run differential as a team. They're 3rd. The Guardians are just playing ridiculous baseball right now. Their pace, I don't think, can continue. Their run differential is plus 52. They are way out in front of everybody. They got 16 wins on the season. The top 5 run differential teams in baseball right now, the Guardians, the Braves, the Royals, the Brewers, and then the Orioles.
That's why I still have a lot of faith in the Royals. Run differential tells you something about a team's competitiveness. I'll just tell you right now, if you're looking for the 7 playoff teams out of the American League every year, you are going to be damn close to the 7 best run differential teams in the league. That's just the reality of the situation. Their problem is, like, Velasquez is hitting pretty well, but Isbell's been bad. Mikel's been bad. Dairon Blanco did have that double last night, but overall, it's been kind of a problem. Breaking news from our guy Pete Sweeney. Did you see this text from Pete? Bay Boy Sandwiches, which is one of the best sandwich places in the city, by the way, if you've never been, they might be ripping you off.
Oh,
they have a sandwich on their menu.
It's good.
Called the Goldilocks, do you like locks, by the way?
I don't. I know.
Damn.
Some family members
did.
What a
disappointment.
Locks and bagels.
If you like locks, then you'd be good.
I don't like salmon. Yeah, I don't like salmon. But yeah.
Like, all locks are so good.
Goldilocks, cold smoked salmon, hot bun toasted with,
infused
capered cream cheese spread, red onion.
I'd eat the hell out of this
sandwich. Bun and the fish.
Have you ever had Bay Boy?
No.
Their bread's great. It's a Where's that sandwich? I don't know, Midtown? Is that probably the best way to describe it, I guess?
Did he hear our conversation about Anthony Gould or Gould or whatever? Is that what it was?
Never had a sandwich named after myself. You could probably just claim this one. Just claim you like locks and claim that this one is named
Goldie
after...
Goldilocks.
That whole segment idea came up on this show. The idea for the Goldilocks was discussed here first.
Yeah.
Before it ended up on that betting
show.
Stone
Gold Locks and Goldilocks.
Mm-hmm. Goldilocks. Man, it could be something if you just like locks.
So you're saying if I had a bagel shop, I could just be Goldilocks. That would be a featured item.
Who in this town is willing to name something after this show, you know? Let's get back on board. We talked about that for a while, and it didn't come through.
There was a coffee place that offered to make us our own blend.
Which we appreciated.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we can get back to that a little later. I did see a text with the Royals conversation we were having, though, and it's fair. I still think it'll happen. Someone said, hey, everybody's been saying that nobody in the Central Division is going to run away and hide, but Cleveland sure is trying their best. But they're off to a great start. I still think if we were to settle in June, July, this thing is going to be tight. I think the Twins are also going to probably balance back out a little bit. They're 8-13, something like that, I think. And the Guardians, as I said, are 16-6 or something. I don't think the Guardians are running away with the division. Shane Bieber is already done for the season. I think at some point that'll come back to get him a little bit. Health is going to be a huge key for all the teams. Knock on wood, the Royals have been pretty
starter.
Royals been pretty good shape so far with that. I think a lot of this bounced out. The schedule eventually balances, but it's not balanced yet. I mean, we just went through it yesterday. The Twins, I think, are playing the White Sox 6 out of the next 9 or something.
The White Sox have 3 wins in 22 games this year.
So my guess is we wake up in about a week and a half. My guess is the Twins are going to be above 500 or right at 500 here very soon. And the Guardians, I don't think, are going to keep up this pace. You think the Guardians are going to finish first in run differential in baseball this year? I don't.
The Guardians have played Oakland 4 times. Now, they did play well against Minnesota. They had a 2-game set against Minnesota. They had the 3rd game. They got rained out the makeup later. 3 more against Chicago. And then if you look at it, like, they played the Yankees, they lost the series. They played the Red Sox, they won the series, took an extra innings game, but they did it.
Yeah.
Then they played Oakland again 3 more times. So, like, they've played Oakland 6 times, the White Sox 3 times. Like, they've just...
That's what I'm saying. The schedule's going to work itself out.
They faced some bad teams. And the Royals took advantage of that, too.
Yes.
I think you could take a real look at the Royals rotation and say, hey, were they ever really that good? Or were they simply just shutting out the White Sox a bunch, a team that they've shut out 3 times and has been shut out 8 times this year? So literally everyone is pitching like Nolan Ryan in, you know, like at the heat of his powers against the White Sox.
Yeah.
So yeah, did we hyperinflate a little bit what the Royals rotation was doing based on just their performance against the White Sox? Probably a little. But I still don't think they're still a good rotation in my mind.
I think we all, and this includes us, like from a fan perspective here in Kansas City, watching the Royals, like reminding us, because for so many years on a day-to-day basis, people weren't really tracking this, you know, whether it was decisions in game, whether it was what's going on in the division, because they were not competitive 2 weeks into the season. And so now that everybody's kind of buying in here and it's fun and the team's competitive, we forget that whatever your season expectation was from a win total, unless you thought they were winning 90, I'll keep saying it. Like, I know you want them to win every single night. We all do, but
me too. Yeah.
100 win team loses 62 times. Yeah. So, you know, if you think they're even going to have a good year and win 80 plus, they're still losing plenty of games. So like, it's not, I think there's an adjustment of reminding ourselves like, hey, unless you think they're having a historically great season, there's going to be so many games where we're coming back after a night game and they lose. I mean, that is just the reality of how a 162-game season works.
Yeah, I can't panic yet because, again, I would remind you, 80% of the league now, and I just did it, 80% of the league has now had a losing streak of 3 games or more. Yeah. So you're just like everyone else in that regard.
But how many over 4, right?
And or 5 or 6 out of 7 because really they've lost 4 to 5 when you go back. So, like, it's more just about making sure, because this is the problem the Royals had all the time. I told you in 2021, this team started 15-9. They were tied for the best record in the American League, and then they went on to lose their next 9 consecutive games and like 13 out of 14, and they were below 500 before April was over, or before May was, like, they were done. They were done. So, like, if you're going to be, like, if it's going to turn on you that quick, well, then you got a big problem, right? You can't let it just
no.
Middle of May, you're under, you know, you're 10 games under 500.
Where I'm at for April, at the end of the month, is still considering how you start everything. You got to make sure you still
above 500.
You got to still make sure at minimum you're above, you know, 500. Like the way that's where we're at now. And that's all I think most people ask for. If we were to go back to opening day, can you be right around 500 in April? And good news is they're above it right now. We'll see what the rest of the month brings. Hopefully they just get back on track tonight. They take on the Blue Jays again out of the K. And we'll talk to Vern about all this tomorrow, and hopefully we're talking about a win. But the Royals, offensively still, and overall run differential-wise as a team, I should say, still top five, number three in baseball.
Text line says, because you don't like locks, yeah. We would like to rename the sandwich at Bay Boy instead of Goldilocks. We would like to change it to Cody Locks.
It just doesn't flow as well. Sorry. It just doesn't work for that
close,
one.
It's close, though.
It doesn't work
And
as
you
well.
Don't like locks.
I don't. No, that would not be my sandwich. Like, if you're saying, hey, you could pick a sandwich to be named after you, and what would it include? It obviously
what would
not.
A sandwich named after you
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, I'll be honest. A good Philly cheesesteak I love, but it's already named a Philly cheesesteak. But a good Philly. Big fan of a Philly,
it's
going
to be a tough one to... I don't feel like that's ever named anything else. People just call it what it is.
It's a Philly. It's a Philly. Phillies are just great. And I don't like the original...
I love a good French dip.
Yeah, I'm not a big... I don't like the au jus or whatever.
What?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like... What's offensive about au jus?
I just not a
that's
big...
one of the simplest of sauces.
I haven't had a French dip sandwich in a very long time.
When? Maybe you don't think you like au jus.
I haven't had it since elementary school
Sometimes
when I was in
office. This is the problem. I have to talk to you the exact same way I talk to my children. I'll make my kids dinner. Make up a little, my wife made like an enchilada pasta thing last night, right?
Nice,
I
cook
it up, put it on the plate. Des says, I don't like this. I said, there is no way you are allowed to tell me you don't like it unless you eat that damn food. You got to put,
well,
I've
had
take.
An au jus. Say, French,
you said in elementary school. Yeah. You're out here at like, whatever, like Overland Park Elementary School eating a French dip. I'm sure it wasn't great.
Pleasant Ridge, thank you very much. The Patriots, Pleasant Ridge Patriots.
We were the Crusaders in our elementary school.
We were the Trailblazers.
I'm just telling you right now that I think you'd like a French dip.
No, I love Philly. Just
I
give
think
me
you'd
a Philly.
Like a French dip.
If someplace has a Philly on the menu, I'm pretty, I mean, it's usually getting picked. That's usually what I'm ordering.
Cody.
Not the original, though, with the... I like, you know, just a sliced cheese, not the original Philly style, which is like Cheese Whiz.
I just want to make sure you didn't make the mistake of did you say damn in front of Desmond?
I've been trying to fix that. I told you. He dropped an F-bomb the other day. Well, just casually, too. Just like, what are you doing here? And you're like, oh, man, okay.
By the way...
he did stop calling me bro. That died down a little.
Oh, good.
So, okay. One thing at a time, you know?
Text line says, stop talking to Gold about food. Jeez.
I do have another name for you, center. I dug deeper into the
hyphenated
draft stuff.
Okay.
This guy, so he is a center, but he's projected in like the later rounds. His name is Cedric Van Pran Granger.
I don't even know.
Van Pran Granger?
Yeah. Cedric Van Pran Granger.
And he's a center.
Yes.
And he's projected to go what round?
Well, he's top five on Brugler's big board, but... That I think it hits like fourth or fifth round.
I mean, if they want to draft a backup center in the fifth round, that's cool. That's fun.
That's a long name. Does that even fit?
Van Pran Granger?
Does that even fit? I mean, on that a would jersey?
Be. I'm guess. Well, look at his college uniform. Whatever they put on there, or they just went with really tiny font. They shrunk that thing.
There was a wide receiver as well. I haven't even gotten to the defensive guys yet. There was a wide receiver who had a good one as well. Let me find him.
I would have been fine with Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, a year ago.
That's a good
been
one.
Another one that would have fit.
Marcus Rosemi Jack Saint.
Is it just more common Jack to have a hyphenated name? I don't remember going to school with anybody with a hyphenated name.
You know what? I don't know.
Me neither.
I'm sure it's more common, you know.
Kool-Aid.
Society changes.
Maybe so. That
His
might be what it
is,
honestly.
Kool-Aid, though. I mean,
Kool-Aid McKinstry. Yeah.
I feel like that one, I mean, it's not his name, but he goes by that.
I got you.
Still, I mean, you can't go wrong with Kool-Aid.
All right, coming up in 10 minutes, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk a little bit more about a former Chief who's unhappy about numbers that are being worn in Kansas City.
Trash of the day.
But yeah, let's get to a little trash of the day. This sounds terrible, I'll be honest. You know, this seems like one of the conditions that would make life miserable. It has to do with a man in Belgium where it says his body makes its own alcohol. He got cleared of drunk driving because of this. A court heard how the defendant had a condition called auto brewery syndrome, sometimes brought on by intestinal problems. He got acquitted of drunk driving because he has this rare condition where the body produces alcohol. I had honestly never heard of this before. Said on Monday in court that another unfortunate coincidence, her client worked at a brewery, but three doctors who independently examined him and confirmed he had ABS. The judge emphasized the defendant, who was not named, did not experience symptoms of intoxication. But again, he breathalyzer. He still blew over the whatever the legal limit is there in Belgium. I don't know what theirs is. And this is a problem. This guy has to deal with. Basically, you can still have symptoms like alcohol intoxication. So slurred speech or stumbling.
Should you not be driving then? Like, no offense. I'm not saying you didn't drink, but if you have this problem, should you be like taking an Uber or a bus or something? If you're essentially just like a drunk person, even though you didn't drink, the problem's still the same, isn't it? Getting behind the wheel?
The judge in this case said, though, that in this instance, he did not experience the symptoms of intoxication. That's why he got away with it. So basically, he was driving, speeding or something. They pull him over. He blows over whatever the legal limit is there. And they're like, oh, well, we're right. Obviously,
like,
you're
whoa,
drunk.
Whoa, whoa. And he had my body just makes alcohol, imagine sir.
How many people
I would not believe him.
How many people tried to use this as an excuse? Now, they had doctors actually verify that, no, this is a condition this guy had. This would be awful, though, if you actually did experience the symptoms on a regular basis.
Yeah, just, like, act like a drunk person. Can you imagine doing this show? Like, I'm just trying to do this show, and I'm just like, you're like, Cody, lay off the bottle for a little bit, man. We got 4 hours today. You're like, it's a disease. It's my, like,
we would probably have a breathalyzer in studio. We would just constantly have you.
I am.
Constantly throughout the show, just to see.
That seems like it would be a problem. I got to be honest. Not a good one.
The article says you're not born with it, but you can develop it when you already have another intestine-related condition.
Mm. Could you just fix this with, like, diet or something?
A clinical biologist said people with ABS produce the same type of alcohol as found in alcoholic drinks, but they generally felt less of its effects. A quick Google search says you can help it with some diet, like having some more grains and some other things in your diet. I don't know.
I did see this. Made me think of there was a video over the weekend. Guy ran a marathon, and he drank like a half a glass of wine at every mile.
Yeah,
like different glass of wine. He's just like he was
the
like
beer
a
mile, but with wine.
Yeah, he did 26 half glasses of
26.
Wine.
26.
Well, he did it for a whole marathon, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like a sommelier, or he's like a super wine taster. So he's like, it's a 2015 Barolo. Oh. Drinks it and then keeps running. And by the end of it. Oh, you can tell.
Well, he's stumbling around?
Oh, I bet.
He's slurring. You can tell he's been drinking for an entire marathon.
These were full glasses or a little?
I would call them like half glasasses, probably. I feel
half glass. 26 half glasses of wine.
And he's not eating.
He
exercising.
Didn't fall down?
You know?
He didn't fall down?
Ooh. I mean, he finished the marathon. Man got through 26. That's a little bit different than a beer mile. Wherever, you know, quarter, you got
beer mile, you're throwing up if you did it at the same pace this guy was doing, the wine.
Well, 26? I just don't think you'd like... I mean, you would think that you're burning some of it off in, you know, the running part.
Some.
But you're also not eating that whole time, you know? So you're just like, your stomach contents are getting emptier and emptier as you continue to run and burn this off. You'd think the alcohol would affect you faster. I was going to ask, do you think this guy, it's harder for him to get drunk? Because his alcohol, if he wants to get drunk.
I would argue easier, right? He's already got some of it. His body's already...
It said his body reacts less to the alcohol in his body. Maybe other alcohol.
Yeah, it says less. Oh, you're saying this, because the alcohol his body produces less effects, but I figured it'd be more because you're drinking it and your body's at the same time producing.
You're like, it's like taking double shots. That's fair. Someone says, how can I increase my risk of developing this condition?
I don't think
you gotta spend less at the bar if you're just already a little drunk.
One thing I didn't get from the article, did he have this? It says he wasn't born with it. He developed it later. So did he develop this after 21? Because what if you were like a 12-year-old and you had this condition?
Be a problem.
Hopefully he developed it in his adult life.
Gotta hope you're a happy drunk.
That too.
Anyway. Well, and you won't be able to play sports at all. I mean, if you're trying to run to first base, you'll be
a boxer.
If you happen to make contact with the ball, you're running to first base, you're not getting to first base.
Someone said, saw the video of the guy running the marathon I'm talking about. He said he probably had like 3 bottles of wine.
Woo!
I mean, it was funny. Because he was drunk at the end of it.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get back into some Chiefs football, Chiefs Red Half Hour, what Tyreek Hill is, running his mouth about again.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We'll talk some more draft here in just a couple of minutes during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Don't forget, on Thursday, we are at the Landing in Liberty, our 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Party brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you can go to 610sports.com right now and print out that draft form where you predict how the draft's going to go, 1 through 32. Who's going when and where? You get points for that. You bring the form Thursday night at the Landing. We'll also have some on site. You turn it in around 6:30 before the draft starts, and you'll have a chance to win $610 plus some autographed Chiefs merchandise. Entire 610 crew going to be up there. I know Bink and Chris in the Character Concern show will be broadcasting live throughout the evening. Who knows? They might even have us pop on at some point. Either way, we're going to be hanging out until
you're inviting yourself onto their podcast.
We've done enough of these that usually some of this stuff happens. But no, actually, if you want to know the preference, I would gladly just sit back and watch the draft. That sounds like a great night.
I haven't gotten to do that. I felt like last year you and I were at Boulevard, which is a great spot, and loved that it was in the city. But we were at Boulevard and doing some call-ins and watching with a big group of people. But then, yeah, I mean, just sit back, watch the draft.
Someone on the text line offered to buy us drinks if they can just copy off our sheet.
You're not going to want to. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know if you want that.
I know we do the mock draft Sounders. Don't you remember that I couldn't name where Bo Nix played college for like six consecutive months on this show? You want me deciding? I can't name 30 college players. I wouldn't be able to get through the entire first round if you just said, all right, Cody, name 30, just name 32 players who play in college. I'm not sure I'd get to 32.
We can't win the prize, but I'm going to fill out a form because I do want to see out of the 32 how many points we can get.
Whoever was the most accurate last year. I'm going to get to Tom Pelissero's page. I'm going to look up his most recent mock draft, and that's going to be my 1 through 32. I mean, like, maybe to the letter.
We need to have you do a mock draft tomorrow. Three-round mock draft, Cody.
Three-round?
Three-round.
Oh, my God. I'm about to get on, like, they have simulators for that, right? So they'll do most of the work for me. I could probably knock that out in, like, 10 minutes.
It'd be less than that, probably.
Let's see. Pro Football Focus mock draft.
No, I'm looking forward to filling one out. Probably do it on site. If not, I'll print out a form as well and do it before. Hope to see you guys out there. Two nights from now. Looking forward to it.
Advance to the Chiefs pick 32, please. it's going to be a great time. It's always a great time out there at the Landing.
Former Chief Tyreek Hill is talking again. I'm not going to order the French dip. My guess is they have a Philly on the menu. I haven't looked. My guess is I might have to order a Philly. They might have one of those. Mm-hmm. I do know Ben Maller's got his own dish. Thinking of dish's name, he's got chicken tenders, right? Or chicken fingers. Ben Maller, chicken fingers. Whatever the commercial says.
Yeah. I haven't
fingers
had
or tenders. How do they phrase it?
Same thing. Ben Maller chicken tenders? I don't know.
Fingers.
Can't hear it now.
Tenders? Anyway, point being, we'll see you Thursday at the Landing. While Cody's looking up a mock draft, I want to tell you about Tyreek Hill once again opening his mouth out in Miami. This time it's funny, though, actually, because we all remember the clip of LeJarius Sneed just completely knocking Tyreek Hill to the ground, just slamming him to the ground.
Yes.
Great clip as a Chiefs fan. Well, Tyreek Hill was on a million dollars worth of game podcast that basically he said his head coach, Mike McDaniel, called him out after Hill got manhandled by Chiefs corner LeJarius Sneed. Quote, the play against Sneed, the Chiefs, everybody see this play against the Chiefs when the mother effer slammed me to the floor. He called me out. I didn't realize, by the way, this was not bleep, so I got to be careful as I'm reading this. He, like, Reek, bro, you're supposed to be the effing best player in the effing league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that. We pay you all this money for what? And for me, I love this bleep like that. I'm going to take that bleep to heart, and I'm going to get better from it. That'll never happen again to me in my life, man. You feel me? If a mother effer cannot hold me accountable, why didn't we just have the audio of this? I feel like I'm knocking. That's a lot of bleeps.
I didn't want to do the editing. I'll be honest with you.
Like, obviously, the coaches can bypass that, you know what I'm saying, and just be like, he'll get better from it. I'm not going to keep reading. This goes on. It's just a bunch of rambling from Tyreek.
Essentially, what it is Tyreek got called out by his coach for getting punked by L'Jarius Sneed on the football field, and then in the same podcast complained that he felt disrespected, that the Chiefs gave Isaiah Pacheco number 10. Which part about it? Was it he gave it to another player, that he gave it to another player that was a seventh-round pick? Which part were you offended by? Also, you aren't allowed to be offended if you are the person who chose to leave. Like, that's the part of it.
Yeah, you forced your way out.
Yeah, you left. That was your call. And you'd be like, well, you know, they could have just paid that. Come on, man. You made your choice. You wanted to make more money, and you said, trade me if you're not going to pay me. You made your choice.
The exact quote on Pacheco from Tyreek Hill was, Kansas City's got a real good running back. I did feel they disrespected when they gave him 10, though. I didn't like that. There's only one 10. There should only be one 10 in your heart. That's from Tyreek Hill. Like, they retire your damn number, man.
It does kind of. He played here for 5 years. It's not, you know, like, how many total years did Tyreek Hill, was he a Chief?
I don't know. And he's going to end up in the Chiefs Hall of Fame at some point.
I don't know. Sometimes if you say enough dumb things when you leave, it gets harder.
Not
going to
happen
sense?
Right away. It might be years and years removed.
He won't be as fast as he should have been based on the level of talent that he possessed. I'll say that. Like, based on, because he's probably the Chiefs' most talented wide receiver in their history.
Absolutely.
Their most successful wide receiver in their history is Dwayne Bowe, which says something about their wide receiver history, but I'm just letting you know. The best career is a Chiefs wide receiver is that long. He played one, two, three.
I know people will bring up
6 years in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's a long NFL career. There's no complaining. He had a ton of yards and a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah. People bring up Otis Taylor. Obviously, Otis Taylor's already in. But just talking about maybe 20 years from now, I could see Tyreek Hill getting in the Chiefs Ring of Honor or something. Remember, there's a lot of, I mean, there's some legendary Chiefs players that are still are not in.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, it could be 30 years from now, even.
The thing that hurts him is he keeps talking trash. He said negative things about Mahomes on his way out the door. He's still complaining that they disrespected him, which is not true. The best part of the entire thing is he's talking about how he has to go on a vacation every year because he doesn't like watching the Chiefs win Super Bowls without him. I guarantee you that had to be the biggest ego punch of all time to Tyreek Hill. Because I guarantee you, a player of his talent level, when he got traded away, he's like, they'll never be the same without me. They thought that paying me a little bit less was the only way. The Chiefs will never be the same without me. And then right after they traded him, they won back-to-back Super Bowls. Not just one. They just won more.
That's why it's got to sting so bad.
And they beat him.
Sting so bad for him.
On the way to get there this year.
Twice. This year, too. In Germany and, as you said, in the playoffs.
You had the chance to stop him.
Trent McDuffie stripped the ball away from him and what ended up being the game-winning play, in my opinion, even though it was early in the game, against Miami. It just set the tone for the whole stage on that one. And then, beat him in the playoffs on their way to their second consecutive Super Bowl without you. That was maybe, like, honestly, I don't know that you could have a bigger confidence boost on the planet in Patrick Mahomes than that. They lost easily. A top three wide receiver in the league. You can make an argument for the best wide receiver in the league, but nobody will argue with a top three wide receiver in the league. And they won two Super Bowls in a row without him. Didn't even matter. So who cares? By the way, you only play there 6 years. You don't get numbered retired for 6 years. Hell, the kid in the young kid in Baltimore who just got called up, their number one prospect.
Oh, baseball, Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, he got Cal Ripken Sr.'s number. He, like, called the family and did the whole thing. And
he's
said,
off to a rough start.
Hey, what do you think? You're too good? A Ripken in Baltimore coughed up their number for a kid. And I get it. It was a seventh-round rookie. But they weren't going to, like, hold 10 hostage forever. It's also just too good of a number. I'll be honest.
10?
Yeah.
Trent Green's worn that number as well.
71. You can have that one forever, man. Ain't nobody care. But 10? That was a good number.
The only
numbers
that
number
won't be touched are 15 and 87. And maybe not touched because
15 and 87 are untouchable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's a maybe. I think that the Chiefs don't have, like, NFL teams don't really retire numbers because you have to do it the same way. But they'll be real careful. before the next person they put in 87.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're another quarterback ever in Chiefs history, no other quarterback in Chiefs history is ever wearing 15 you'd as a starter. Like there's no reason to.
Yeah, you'd be a wide receiver wearing or something. Like if you're a quarterback, why on earth? Hell, Trent Green played.
Unless I say you wore number 10.
One, two, three, four. He played as many years as Tyreek Hill in 10. Trent Green wasn't offended when, I don't know.
I like Trent Green. Obviously, Trent Green, I don't think, was ever considered a top three at his position, but I get your point, right? Trent Green is one of the most likable guys that's ever played for the Chiefs, I feel like.
They played for the Chiefs when they were good.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't win a
Super Bowl. Someone said also, if we're not just talking about numbers, obviously, Derek Thomas is number 58 for obvious reasons.
Yeah, that one will never get worn. But that's a slightly different circumstance. Mm-hmm. Did anybody get number 10 the year after Trent Green left? I'm looking now. What do you think?
I'm sure somebody in the last within 2 years probably wore it.
It's going to take too long to dig up.
Anyway, point being, Tyreek Hill, he's just better, man. He's just better. By the way, I can't even blame him because
I'd probably be pretty bitter too.
It was his decision. He wanted to get paid, and to get paid, he had to leave Kansas City to get paid the way he wanted. The Chiefs, remember, were willing to make him one of the highest paid wide receivers, just not willing to get to the number that he wanted. And he ends up in Miami. You took the money, and then the consequences of that are that you're on a team that's probably not winning a Super Bowl. You're not going to have another ring. You're probably going to have the one you got with the Chiefs, which, hey, it's more than most people have. And that's fine. That's where you're at. But he's going to be bitter.
I think the only two numbers I don't want to see another player wear, the two he just mentioned, like 58 from the previous regime, and then, 15 and 87. It would just be weird. If anybody else ever had those numbers again. Like someone said, I'm surprised Tony Gonzalez's number wasn't. He's a Hall of Famer. Lots of teams have Hall of Famers who played for him. If you don't win a Super Bowl, it is hard to make the let's hang up your number argument.
Well, it's so Tony Gonzalez for a long period of time was considered one of the greatest tight ends of all time, right? And that's why he's a Hall of Famer, as you said. But when you're part of a dynasty and you are at your position, maybe the best to ever play, not for the Chiefs, like ever. As in
three
what
Super
Mahomes
Bowl
could
titles.
Be, Kelsey's going to go down as the greatest tight end of all time. Mahomes has a chance to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah. I mean, that's really it. It just comes down to different things. I was thinking more about the draft and the way it relates. And I think correctly pointed out over at Arrowhead Pride, they had an article up about Brett Veach and the way he talked on his call the other day that we listened to on Friday. And when she talked about the top 30 visits and how they can be helpful, and he's like, look, I'm only going to meet with these guys for like 15 minutes. So it's not long, but it's like sometimes you just have no medical on the guy. Sometimes you like him, but you want to be sure you like him. But I went back through the last five drafts of Brett Veach, and he has a real habit of drafting somebody in his top 30 visits. He consistently does it. Sometimes it's a first round pick. Sometimes it's a second round pick. Sometimes it's later. It depends. But he consistently takes guys who they talk to out of that and actually put them on the roster. So I pulled up the tracking list of this year's top 30 picks. And I want you to give me one or two players that you would be okay with them taking depending on the draft. First off, I got to be honest. This makes me feel even more confident. They talk to a lot of running backs. They talk to Cody Schrader, Jonathan Brooks, Carson Steele from UCLA, Rasheen Ali from Marshall. So just like it seemed like it was kind of an infinite amount. They talked to Anthony Gold.
Yes.
The guy from Oregon State.
They spoke to Bucky Irving, another running back at the combine.
And then they talked to a lot of like defensive guys that you would have expected. The guys we've talked about, like Tavondre Sweat, who just recently got in a little bit of trouble, obviously, as you know, with the Juwan Briggs. So like look at the list, and I don't want to list off every single one.
Well, I want
for
all
the
30.
Audience.
I want all 30. Yeah.
Sinnott, Binks guys on there, the tight end from Kansas State. A ton of offensive tackles, including Sua Maitaia. On the list of the top 30, we should just make a prediction. I feel like one of these guys is getting drafted by the Chiefs.
Go Kingsley.
Who is it?
Sua Maitaia. I want the tackle. I want the tackle. Give me my future left tackle for the next 4 or 5 years at least, please.
I'm going to stay tackle, but I'm going to go a different one. Patrick Paul from Houston.
Is he on their list?
Yes.
No, he is on their list. Yeah, you're right. I'm going to take Michael Hull Jr. Like, I don't know what it about is. Like,
from Ohio State?
He's been mocked at them before. He's like a late second guy. They love rotational defensive line depth across the board. They don't have all their long-term answers solved there. He kind of makes sense to me. The Anthony Gold guy, I've only heard of him since literally
today.
Now
I demand he gets drafted at some point now by the Chiefs.
I'm tempted by the running backs. I don't think that it's out of the question that if of their top 30 visits, if four or five of them are running backs, aren't you trying to get a sense that they kind of want to just be like, hey, run for a minute. Just like do a wind sprint down the end of the hallway real quick. I want to see your athleticism for half a second. And more importantly, I want to make sure your knee is getting ready not to fall off before we start you there.
A lot of times, though, to me, it's about them being able to sit down and just talk to them more than these even like the sheer hey, let's see him run in front of us.
It's typically.
I mean, I go back to the comments from Andy at the combine even where he was asked kind of what he's like, look, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically like, yeah, I'm really not watching the drills out here. I want to get down and have a chance to talk to these guys. You know, that seemingly is what the process for him is important to go through, right? The ability to go and pick whoever, Jonathan Brooks, Cody Schrader, or any of these players, actually talk to them and find out what they're all about in that regard. That seems like what Andy values.
It's kind of interesting. They talked to Brooks, you know.
They talked to four different running backs.
Being the consensus top running back, and then you look at Carson Steele, who's a sixth-round guy, or like a you know fifth or sixth-round guy, Cody Schrader, fifth or sixth, seventh-round guy, in terms of the range. Patrick Paul, by the way, his name hasn't come up very much, but I saw...
Where's he projected to go?
So he's been late first round to the Chiefs earlier on, like a few months ago. Okay. Now he's more second round. But he said he said that he's spoken to a lot of teams who have said he's going in the first round, and he's very confident that he's going. I know it's...
Who was it? Some NFL person was literally tweeting this out like a day ago.
But Patrick Paul said, he said, I'm confident I'm going in the top 32, and maybe it's because of the tackles going way earlier that somebody takes it where... If they met with him and they like, I mean, he's 6'7". His arms are 36 and a half inches. He's a big dude. He's allowed 2 sacks the last 2 seasons combined in college. I mean, he's left tackle material, if you will, from size perspective. And he played in the Big 12 last year. But I wonder if the Chiefs are so committed to offensive tackle that if there's a run of tackles where they could take Ladd McConkey at 32, or they could wait to take a wide receiver, or they could take Patrick Paul. I think they might take Patrick Paul if they think he can be that starting left tackle and then take a wide receiver because the class is so deep in the second round or later on.
Because I don't think Patrick Paul, not that it matters.
They might be able to get him in the second round, honestly. I don't know.
This doesn't matter, but I don't believe, I thought from the article, I don't think Patrick Paul was in the top 30 visit. I thought that was at the combine they talked to him. I don't think that was a top 30 visit.
I mean,
it doesn't matter, but I think out of the top 30s it wasn't. Patrick Paul was on the list where he's listed as scouting combine formal interviews, and it was Xavier Worthy, Jatavion Sanders, Patrick Paul, Bucky Irving, because Bo Nix was even listed. They didn't bring in Bo Nix for a top 30
in that capacity is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's different. Doesn't really matter, but was top 30 versus at the combine.
Split hair, and it got us talking about another prospect that we haven't talked about. I was trying to find the name of it was like an NFL person who this week said you do not have him high enough on your mock draft boards. Like, wherever you think he's going higher. Where did he play college?
Houston.
Okay.
And he was mocked a couple months ago to the Chiefs at 32. He's been in the first round before, but then he slid to the second, and now I don't know if he's the name.
The best name on the list of players that reportedly took a visit to Kansas City is the guy we talked about in the interior of the offensive line, Christian Mahogany. That might be the best, other than Anthony Gold, obviously. That might be the best name that's on this list.
No, but it does seem to have a theme, dude. It's just offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and wide receivers, and then the like running backs. Like at this point, I'm just to assume, all right, they're taking a wide receiver, an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, and a running back. And look, I'd be like, isn't that any draft? Like, maybe. But, you know, normally they might double down in a position. I am more convinced by that list that they're taking a running back. And they just they just wanted them all in so that they could just get a like, hey, real quick, let's just talk for 15 minutes, get an idea of your personality. Let me take a look at those legs because we're trying to get 4 years of you being a running back for us.
Save that as a drop. Thank you. Thank you. Just get a drop of Cody saying, let me take a look at those legs. And that'll be a nice drop for us. Future use. Don't know when, but it'll come in handy at some point.
It is interesting to look at the I know that you would do that. It makes sense why Veach would do this, but the range of like the projected area for these guys, like Kingsley Suamate is predicted to be first or second round tackle. Patrick Paul, first or second round tackle.
Some of these guys are sixth or seventh.
But you're looking at like the British Columbia tackle. I mean, he's like a sixth or seventh round guy. South Florida Donovan Jennings, he's a seventh round projected guy. Like there's a the range of the running backs. Jonathan Brooks, consensus number one,
but
and then Cody
guy,
Schrader,
right?
Seventh round. Like, being sure you cover
that's smart,
all
right?
Your areas.
I think some of it is they don't have questions on some players in the sense that they don't need to talk to them because they're like, if that kid's available and the time he's supposed to be available, I'll draft him tomorrow. Yeah. I don't have any questions about it. And then people on the flip side, that they're like, it doesn't matter in what round he's available. Not going to do it. People just have people off their board. They're not going to draft under any circumstances for a variety of reasons. And so some guys you just simply don't have to admit. He admitted in that call on Friday, some of it was just purely medical. They just wanted a chance for their doctors to look at that player. And if you couple that with the fact that Brett Veach was talking about all these fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round guys are all older players who have been in college football way longer and aren't as young, presumably less healthy, more miles on them. You know, like, they're just trying to get a better sense of where they are. I'm not surprised that he moves it around. Also, I mean, it is really hard to complain about Brett Veach's draft approach.
Oh, my goodness.
Seems like whatever their strategy is, seems pretty good. I don't want to say for sure.
Especially in the middle rounds.
Pretty good.
I mean, honestly, second, third, fourth round, that's where they've seemingly actually had their most success.
Drew, I've got some great news for you.
Yeah.
I've texted my wife. She says if you need a place to stay in the interim, you're welcome to stay at the Tap House.
All right.
You are welcome to live. Again, my kids are kind of loud, and they will probably demand some of your attention.
That's fine.
But just as long as you don't mind kids, you are welcome to live in my house in the interim. If you missed it earlier, we'll talk more about it. Drew's apartment is—he's out.
Finally.
Well, you've been cleared to leave tomorrow, even if you wanted to.
As long as there's no like specific requirements where it requires a specific observation.
Let me take a look at those legs.
As long as.
Makes me sound like a creep.
That was the idea. That was the idea. No, but the apartment thing is great news. Yeah, we'll get some more details on
that. Yeah, very, very exciting.
Our listener, did you the mold? I'm still convinced though. They didn't want you to get the mold test results. They're like, just let him out. We don't want him to be able to
Before everyone else in this apartment finds out that they're living with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That sounds like that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Covering their own ass.
So your better couch, they want to know.
Well,
in this case,
I would still be in my house, so I'd still need my bed.
So Drew would get the, just buy an air mattress for your basement?
I have
a
really nice air mattress for the basement, or we could figure something else out.
But. I mean, just for a couple days, the content of Drew and his wife living in your basement while he waits to move into a new apartment.
Do you guys like to cook a lot? What's the deal? What's the shared kitchen situation?
We would... You'll have free reign, basically.
Wow,
we don't cook.
Nice of you. You're at his place. That's nice.
We try to cook.
I just want to.
It just ends up. You know what?
I just want the image
today.
Of it's 6:30 in the morning. Cody's already up making whatever for the kids, and you're just walking up half asleep, and you're in your boxers, and you're just up there
getting a cup of coffee.
The basement
has a whole bathroom and shower in it, so technically he can be like. In his own little apartment down there.
Hmm.
This is my same offer to a previous producer. Maybe this time one will actually stay.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending, then we'll get back into the three contract extensions that were handed out by the Chiefs and what it could mean for the history of Andy Reid.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.